This is IRIB English Radio. Please log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
Movement.
Speed.
Live in hope.
Toward the peak.
On Youth Station.
Youth Station. Youth Station.
I am a Muslim.
I am a Muslim.
Islamite.
Islamite.
Allah my Lord.
Allah my Lord.
His word Quran.
His word Quran.
Muhammad Prophet.
Muhammad Prophet.
Praise be upon.
Praise be upon.
I am Muslim for all of time.
By the first verse of the Holy Quran,
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim.
Allah will bless you.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim.
Protect you.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim.
Help you.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim.
So ask His blessings.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim.
His protection.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim.
His help.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah, ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters, boys and girls, and other life forms. Welcome to today's episode of Youth Station. It is with great pleasure and deep honor that I
present Muzaffar Haidar, who's going to do the intro, which goes like this. Choo choo ka choo. It's the Youth Station for you. You know, sister, you should do it once. Just let it out of your system.
There isn't enough money in the world.
I am disappointed.
You're disappointed? Mm. That wouldn't be the first time someone's disappointed in me.
Okay.
Yeah.
I see. This conversation has taken a turn for the worse.
And you know what?
Yep. Good for you.
Thank you.
Good for you. I am so proud of you.
I am so...
Check, please.
I am so okay with disappointing other people.
You're okay with disappointing other people?
Yes.
That's
my
a
only
scary
problem
thing to say.
Is yeah. when I disappoint myself.
Ooh. Do you have a fridge magnet that says that? Or a t-shirt or something? Or a mug? Actually, really quite profound, sister. That's fascinating.
I really don't mind disappointing other people because sometimes I even actively try to disappoint other people. Okay,
can you give me an example? Because that sounds kind of...
I just made it really sick. I realized that, but it's true, unfortunately.
Why? Well, could you give me an example?
I don't know whether it's because of my anxiety disorder, like my social anxiety, because social anxiety has a lot of self-sabotaging quirks to it.
Right.
But, like, as a person, I felt that when someone invests too much into me, I get overwhelmed.
Uh-huh. Right? So you disappoint them to throw them off.
Yes,
like,
exactly.
No, stop having so many expectations.
Exactly.
I see.
I'm only
okay,
human.
Okay. Yeah, that makes sense.
And I'm doing the best that I can. And if you keep telling me that, oh, but you're Zainab, what if this? And it's like, you shouldn't be doing this. And it's not good for your reputation. It's not good for your name. I'm like, let's not define me by that. Right? I know what makes me happy. I know what puts me in a good mental and spiritual place.
Mm.
And you're just hyping me up a lot because of this fictional character you have of me in your head.
Oh my God, sister, that is... This might sound like, you know, if you're listening, you might think, okay, this is just a youth show and they're talking about some sort of teenage issue. No. This is something that we really, really need to pin down. Mm-hmm. This topic that has just been disturbed by sister, this topic of expectations that people have of you, and then, I don't know, building this idealistic image in your mind of somebody, and then because of that idealistic image of this person being an angel, you have all these expectations. Because when you first said that you disappoint some people on purpose, I was like, sinister female. But now I'm like, no, that makes a lot of sense. Do continue.
But when I disappoint myself, no. Then it's like, I feel like there's like 7 feet of filth, 5 feet of like fossil fumes, rock bottom, then me. When I disappoint myself.
Mm-hmm.
And often I feel it happens because I didn't set proper boundaries for myself, because I engaged in interactions that were really beneath me as a Muslim woman who tries to be modest and pious. You know, these sort of situations.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Have you ever been disappointed in anyone? Except for me?
Don't get me started.
Real, give me an example.
Apart from, you know, I haven't been disappointed about you.
No, yet.
I try and keep those expectations to a bare minimum, sister.
Wise man.
I've been disappointed by people.
Did it hurt? Or did
I'm at a
you
stage,
angry?
Let me put it this way, sister. I'll put tears in your eyes again, right?
Mm-hmm.
I'm at a stage where every single living person on earth, except for Imam al-Mahdi and you know, maybe Imam Khamenei and some of the real great people, Imam Khomeini, for example, I hate everyone and I'm disappointed in every single person, including myself.
High five.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I am just sick of humanity. Yeah. I'm just like every single person. You try and love people, sister. You really do.
You try and say
this person is so good. They're gonna make this difference. They're gonna make this change, and they're gonna serve humanity. They're gonna be really close
Zilch
to Allah.
Rooney.
And then you find out that they have a major flaw. Like, I mean, a major flaw, and it crushes your spirit, and you're just like, why? Why did you have to be so?
Do you wish
rubbish?
That you hadn't gotten so close to them to see that flaw sometimes?
No, I wish I had never built up that expectation in the first place.
Yeah.
I wish I had not thought that this person is great and mighty. It might be, I mean, it depends, like, throughout the different phases that you go through in life. For me, it's like a scholar. You think this scholar is just perfect, you know, this scholar is going to be brilliant. And then they just disappoint you. They're just like...
Say something really stupid.
They say something stupid, or they express some
really
sort of cowardice.
Sexist or racist.
Or they express some sort of cowardice.
Yes.
Or cowardice for me, I hate it. I can't stand cowardice.
Yeah, yeah.
Or they.
And they justify it by saying that it's for some sort of greater good and to protect this and that.
Everybody justifies it, isn't it? Nobody's going to be like, I'm doing this because I'm a coward.
Yeah.
Everybody hides it up. That's why it's called kufr, right? Because kufr
exactly.
actually literally means to cover something
up. But often I feel like when I I'm really scared shoeless. I'm scared. I can't do this.
What?
I mean, when you're being cowardice. When you're being a coward, don't you just admit that, yes, I'm scared?
I do. Yeah. You do. Because we, alhamdulillah, we have great personalities. But I'm saying cowards, actual cowards, they don't do that. Mm. They go, no, I'm not scared. I'm bravest of the brave. I'm just
you know, wise.
Yeah, I'm just wiser than you.
And
you're
cautious.
An idiot. You're a fool.
Exactly.
But anyway, so sometimes they'll express some sort of cowardice.
It often occurs, I think, in their political stance.
Yeah, in their political stance. Or they won't put the efforts in that you had expected them to put in. Or there would be somebody... It's not necessarily a sin that they commit, but it's some sort of, I don't know, just some
weird
trait.
They lack something in their personality.
I remember I brought a brother to COI back in the day. Like, this was 6-7 years ago, right? Everything was good. We're Taliban. We're unmarried, right? When you're unmarried, you've got nothing to worry about. So we're raking it in every month.
Mm.
Yeah, we're getting loads of cash from COI because
sure
we're working
are.
At the radio, right, together.
Okay.
Every month, we were going to Bama. We were hitting Bama as Taliban.
That's a big deal.
That's a big deal back then, right? So we were happy, mm-hmm. and we were developing our speaking skills and researching, blah, 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 blah. One day he just says, I don't want to do it anymore. Mm. I don't want to. I was like, why? Like, I just don't want to.
That bummed you and disappointed
you. It was like,
you.
No, I just want a reason, like a valid reason. He was like, I want to do something else with my life. I was like, but you're not doing that.
Mm. You're not doing this nor that. And you're just bringing excuses.
These
that
kinds
is
of things. It's like... Disappointment is where somebody had potential to be better. They had potential to do much, much, much more, and they failed to
Nailed
do that.
It. That is exactly what... And that is often why I feel disappointed with myself, too. Because I feel like, Zainab, you could have done so much better, but you didn't, for whatever the reason. I don't care what the reason was.
Coming to that disappointment of the self, I believe it's Ayatollah Behjet, who said that... obviously, he was... referencing from the Quran and the Ahadith, but he said that on the Day of Judgment, there is nobody who will be raised on that day and say, I wish I hadn't done that one thing. I wish I'd gone a little bit further.
Mm.
I just wish I'd gone a little bit further. I mean, that is the real day of disappointment when we're going to realize we could have made so much more of ourselves. We could have made so many sacrifices that right now, because we haven't made those sacrifices, they seem like the most difficult things in the world. But once you make them, you've made them. And Allah helps you to get stronger.
Yep.
We're going to wish that we made those changes in ourselves. We don't do it. What's wrong with us? Why are we disappointed?
Can you think of anything that you would have changed, you could change right now that you're not changing?
Yeah, can you?
I'm also disappointed deeply in humanity's warmongering impulses.
Mm.
Like, what the actual fudge?
Ah, yes. What the actual fudge? Yes, it is very disappointing.
It's very disappointing because even if a person is benefiting from their warmongering today, that benefit is so fleeting compared to a single life that could be lost.
My mom was talking about some comedian or philosopher.
I like
remember.
Your mom already.
She was saying that he mentioned how the Bible, one of the Ten Commandments is thou shalt not kill.
Mm.
And he was talking about how profound that really is.
You know what? It says a lot about society when we can't tell. We can't remember whether it was a comedian or a philosopher that said that.
Because many comedians have like deeply philosophical things to
say.
Yeah,
exactly. And many philosophers are just comedic
are
nonsense.
Just comedians, there you go. But that's a good point, actually. You made me lose. What was I saying?
Thou shalt not kill.
Thou shalt not kill. God had to tell you not to kill. Like, how retarded of this creation. This creation must be really, really, like, essentially, mentally... disabled or something.
As if
don't
killing
kill.
Is our default.
Like, don't kill?
Yeah.
Like, exactly. God has to tell us not to kill? Like, think about that. That's scary.
That's a big deal.
That's terrifying. It's like, he created all 7 billion of us today. More than that, right?
Mm.
And he had to tell them, don't
By the way, don't kill each other.
Yeah. That's That's horrible. Look at.
But on the other hand, it also shows how annoying we can be as a species that our fellow human beings would want to kill us. But then I remembered that the first murder that took place in history was just because the older brother was selfish and vain. And he was competitive and he wanted his brother out of the picture because his brother was favored in the eyes of the parents and God. And he was like, dude, I'm just jealous of you. I'm going to kill you now.
I'm going to kill you.
So yeah. I think it stems from the ego.
Yeah.
Yes, that's what I'm disappointed in. I'm disappointed in how egoistic we are as human beings.
Yeah. Do you know we sound like typical millennials right now?
Because we are typical millennials.
We have the right to be disappointed in humanity.
We are disappointed. Humanity has failed, bro.
It has failed, yeah.
I mean, look at Palestine. You know that it's a very famous, one of the famous signs held up at a protest that circulated, whatchamacallit, a lot. The fact that you have to have thousands of protests to prove that killing children is not okay means humanity has failed.
Excellent. Yeah, that's
and we failed in everything. We failed Mother Nature. We failed the environment. We failed the ecosystem. We failed animals. We failed the trees. We failed the ozone layer. Pretty soon, we're going to fail freaking Mars.
Yeah, this, we often say most human beings are nice.
They're not. And myself included. Sometimes I feel like I am so disappointable. And disappointed.
No, but we say most human beings are inherently nice and stuff, but
no,
they're not anymore, are they?
I mean, look, a lot of times when we talk about the bloodshed and the warmongering and the massacres and the genocides, my mind automatically refers to that verse in the Quran. The first time Allah talks about man's creation, he turns to his angels, he's like, yo, peeps, I'm a ja'alun fil ardi khalifa. What is their first response? They didn't go, oh my God, that's such a good idea. Oh, look at those pretty eyes. Look at those pretty hands. They're like, أَتَجْعَلُ فِيهَا مَا يُفْسِدُ فِيهَا وَيَسْفِكُ الدِّمَا. God's like, I'm going to put my vicegerent on earth. And they're like, are you going to put someone on earth who's going to do nothing but bloodshed and corruption? And I'm like, that's exactly what we are. Had we given the opportunity, I don't think we would be any different.
To kill?
Maybe not go so far as to kill, but to be just as disappointing as those whom we are disappointed in right now.
Allah protect us, honestly. I used to think I'm a really terrible person, for the longest time. Mm-hmm. I realized there's nasty people out there, sister.
Nastier.
Really nasty people. Can you... I understand what you're saying. Allah saved us from certain sins, right?
He really did.
Can you actually imagine killing somebody for a moment? Taking... an innocent person? So I'll give you a lesser example of a comparatively lesser sin, although it is still a greater sin. Ghiba, right? Let's say that you wanted to backbite somebody. Now, killing somebody, we might not imagine it so well, right? Murdering somebody is almost unimaginable.
It's like eating pork for Muslims.
Yeah, son, right? It's just impossible. Alhamdulillah. Okay, but then ghiba.
Easy peasy.
I used to think I do ghiba all the time because, I talk about people behind their backs. Right, in a negative way, which is essentially ghibah. But there are people who the way they do it is nasty, sister. They enjoy it. It's not just politically, this person has done this and therefore we need to, counter it somehow or avoid them or something. It's not like that. It's like they did this. And
what happened there?
It's almost like a meal. It's scary. Ew. It's like, I could never imagine doing that. Just completely degrading and disgracing someone behind their back. But there's people who do that. And they enjoy it. Right? So this is a lesser example of it should be unimaginable. All sins should be actually unimaginable for us. This train has come to its... final stop for today.
Alhamdulillah. I thought I'd never be able to get off.
Yeah.
That's all the time we have for today's episode. Thank you so very much for being with us. Until another youth station, I leave you in the care and protection of the Almighty. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
I am what I am because you made. I have what I have. My love is strong because you are the one I call creator, my Alpha and Omega, my protector and my maker. Because of you, in weakness I am braver, my defender and my savior, my giver and my taker. Abiding in silence with patience and guidance, I will when I need you, a light when I seek you, justice, forgiveness, the strength in my weakness, and my love is strong.
Food for thought.
Hello, dear friends, and let us reflect on some wise words from the paragon of virtue and the commander of the faithful, Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib, peace be upon him. The believers should not dishonor, betray, accuse, disappoint, or disavow each other.
We are with you. What about you? IRIB English Radio.
Please log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
The light. Chinese archaeologists have unearthed a rare 3,000-year-old bronze figure from a site they have been excavating for months in Sichuan province. The 1.5-meter figure, deemed one of China's most famous archaeological discoveries, it consists of two parts. The upper part is 55 centimeters high, with a zoon, a vessel used in ancient times, on top of the head. The lower part is 60 centimeters in size, with kneeling posture. Similar findings in the past were just 20 centimeters in their heights. The bronze figure was discovered under massive ivory objects. So far, over 500 objects, including ivory, bronze, gold, and jade ware, have been found from six sacrificial pits of the Sanjiangdu ruins. A Chinese man becomes the first blind Asian mountaineer to successfully scale the world's tallest peak, the Mount Everest. Zhang Hong completed the 8,849-meter high Himalayan feat with three high-altitude guides. The 46-year-old climber said he spent much of his trek holding onto his guide's arm. The pair said the most tiresome and risky areas were the so-called death zones, ice walls, and ice falls at around 8,000 meters. The Chinese climber recalled humbly embracing being part of Mother Nature after he completed his arduous journey.
No matter if you're disabled or normal, whether you have lost your eyesight or you have no legs or hands, it doesn't matter. As long as you have a strong mind, you can always complete anything that other people think you can't.
Zhang added that this is only the beginning. He said his next milestone is climbing the highest peaks from the world's continents, known as the Seven Summits. The Chinese mountaineer lost his eyesight at the age of 21. After his success, he became the third visually impaired person to ever step foot on the Everest peak. A Russian company has developed a fully self-driving car that looks like it was taken right out of a sci-fi movie. Flip is the size of a conventional passenger car and has enough space for six people. Its creator says the advanced vehicle is a taxi of the future. Flip has fulfilled the requirements of international automated driving standards. It's powered by electricity, but it can also use other fuels like gas and hydrogen. The owners of this futuristic vehicle do not have to worry about running out of power. That's because its replaceable batteries can be changed in less than 5 minutes once they are out of electricity. A rare baby giraffe is born in a zoo in western France as conservationists try to increase the population of this endangered species. The cute Rothschild giraffe is the second born in the French zoo this year. Caretakers say the cubs will stay with a facility for 1 year before they would be sent to another site to start their own families. The Rothschild giraffes are critically endangered, and conservationists say that only 1,600 of them exist now. The general giraffe populations in the wild have also decreased by around 30% in the last three decades.
For many professional climbers, ascending Mount Everest for even once remains an almost distant dream. However, a Nepali man has achieved that feat not once or twice, but 25 times. Kami Rita Sherpa has arrived back in the capital, Kathmandu, after breaking his own whopping record of 24 ascents to the summit of the world's tallest mountain. The veteran climber hopes that his accomplishment represents a big achievement for his small country. Climbing tall mountains runs in Kami's blood. He belongs to the Sherpa tribe, one of the Tibetan ethnic groups and native to the most mountainous region of Nepal.
Now, the iconic Eiffel Tower in Paris has been illuminated for the first time using electricity produced from certified renewable hydrogen. In an amazing show, hydrogen-generated lights were projected onto the tower's frames, displaying various patterns and designs, making viewers ecstatic. It's a dream project of a French company based in the city of Saint-Malo. The company wanted to make the most recognizable landmark a showcase for its carbon-free technology. The objective is to bring more awareness of renewable energy to the public. The nightly event will continue until May the 30th. Countries around the world are investing a lot to develop hydrogen-related technologies.
The Light is a short bulletin in which we bring you a lot of interesting news in different fields like animals' life, cultural events, funny trending news, and more from every corner of the world.
A French musician helps patients in an end-of-life care home to escape from pain by playing the cello for them. Let's have a listen.
Music soothes pain as music eases their symptoms. In palliative care, in end-of-life care, there is sometimes still pain in spite of the morphine, in spite of the drugs that really help manage the pain of the patients. They still feel pain, and music really has a calming power on the residual pain of palliative care patients.
The sound of Claire Oppert's solo cello resonates through the rooms of Jean Garnier End-of-Life Care Home in southern Paris on Fridays. She plays for patients who suffer from physical pain as well as terminal illnesses. The center's staff say music lightens patients' moods and puts them in a calm state.
After Claire leaves the room, we find the patients in a calm state, at times moved, at times happy. A lot happens. There are moments of tears, moments of joy. When we go into the room, we find there is an encounter with the person and his or her story.
I'm in permanent pain. The music helps a little to escape from the pain, I think. You pay attention to the music, and if it's a piece you know, you anticipate the next note. There you go, it's like that.
Claire has been playing the cello for patients in end-of-life care for almost a decade. She says the fact that music makes people feel good has been known since the beginning of humanity, but today it needs to be proven scientifically. Therefore, she has made it her mission to demonstrate the therapeutic effects of music on patients by taking medical studies.
The Russian zoo is delighted to welcome a new resident, a rare snow white wallaby. The cute Joey named Elisa was born at Regina Zoo in the southwestern city of Kazan. Zookeepers say she is healthy, playful, and has won the visitors' attention. Interestingly enough, Elisa's brother Alec was born with normal pigmentation. Wallabies are members of the kangaroo family. The albino wallaby, which has no skin pigmentation and pink eyes, is believed to be extremely rare. Circus and lab animals are getting a second shot at life after a Frenchman built a sanctuary using his own private funds. The sanctuary houses some large animals like rescued lions, elephants and hippos, but it's also home to some lab creatures that were kept for scientific studies such as the macaques. Circus and lab animals are usually euthanized if they are not rescued. Onan Sanctuary Investor Patrick Viola says every day he takes numerous phone calls from circus owners asking about free space at his shelter.
More than a zoo, this is a shelter. It is a refuge above all for animals that need it when there is no other solution. You know, we get 5 to 6 calls every day. Fortunately, in 90% of cases, our help is not even needed. You can't just call us and say, hey, I have a horse, I don't want it anymore. There are plenty of other options. We put a lot of people in touch with each other. People who look for animals and people who have animals they need taken care of. We accommodate animals when there is really no other solution.
Patrick says his shelter is one of 3 sanctuaries that are able to look after wild animals and the only one with the space capacity. He said he's planning an extension as a bill aimed at phasing out the use of wild animals in circuses passes through Parliament. Based on government figures, there are some 80 traveling circuses in France. The ban will be phased in over 5 years once the legislation comes into effect. First a hobby and now a money-making career. A Chinese artist creates objects out of wolf felt in a studio in Beijing.
I came across pictures about wool felt art online by chance. I was very interested in this kind of material, so I did some research and started to try to make something. I've been doing it for about more than 10 years now. I didn't expect that I could do it for such a long time. At first, it was just a little hobby. I wouldn't have thought that I would do it as a profession.
Yin's current exhibition is themed on a warm sense of family unit depicted by cute and cozy mushroom-headed figures. One features a small mushroom-headed family, another features a life-sized adult and child with the same shape. Other artworks include plants and animals, but whatever the creations are, they are infused with human emotions, making people feel good. That's what the 31-year-old Chinese artist says. So far, she has been part of 9 exhibitions in China and Japan.
Let's go to Russia to take a look at St. Petersburg's largest celebration in spring, the Tulip Festival. Around 200,000 tulips from 100 varieties are on display in the colorful gala. It includes 15 extremely rare flower species. Russian artists also participated in the event to promote their traditional culture through various performances. The annual festival, held in Kirov Central Park, attracts hundreds of visitors. This year's event will run until late May.
A French artist has placed the Eiffel Tower on a cliff using optical illusion on the famous landmark. In his work, street artist J.R. has removed the River Seine or Seine with an imaginary street that would go from the Trocadero to the Eiffel Tower. This work is a collage of several layers of paper, which are not to last long due to the rain and the crowd that will walk on it. According to the artist's post on Instagram, the idea is to find a place perfectly reproducing the Eiffel Tower and have fun taking pictures by the imaginary cliff or jumping over the gaping chasm.
Today's special.
Assalamu alaikum.
It's special for you. We present to you today. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, in the name of Allah, the most compassionate, the most merciful, dear brothers and sisters, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio. Salamun alaikum. So welcome to this program. Today's special. Our topic is,
What is taqlid?
Felt that God answered my call. There was that one place I always thought about, and I just wanted to be there with you. The place that no eye has ever seen, the place that no heart has ever perceived. I had a great feeling inside of me that one day I'd be there with you.
Today, Tuesday, is the 20th of Shawwal 1442 of the Islamic Lunar Hijri calendar, corresponding to the 11th of Khordad, 1400 of the Islamic Solar Hijri calendar, and the 1st of June 2021 of the Christian Gregorian calendar. It's a nice time to listen to a verse of the Holy Quran. We choose chapter Al-Ma'idah, verse 104.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم وإذا قيل لهم تعالوا إلى ما أنزل الله وإلى الرسول قالوا حسبنا ما وجدنا عليه آباءنا أولو كان آباؤهم لا يعلمون شيئا ولا يهتدون.
And when it is said to them, come to what Allah has revealed and to the Messenger, they say, sufficient for us is that upon which we found our fathers, even though their fathers knew nothing, nor were they guided.
لا إله إلا الله لا إله إلا الله.
Bless your day with contemplation on the verses of the Holy Quran.
The fundamental principle is the Islamic culture, not the culture of the predecessors. Therefore, neither absolutely tending to the traditions is the principle, nor the new things. To have honor towards the predecessors and respecting them is acceptable, but following their ignorantly thoughts and manner is rejected. Blindly imitation is a sign of foolishness. Importance of ijtihad and taqlid. During the life of Prophet Muhammad, he was the sole authority in all religious and political issues. With his passing away, the chain of successors, the 12 Imams, began. The leadership of 12 Imams was quite different than of the previous 11 Imams, since by the wisdom of Allah, he was required to go into two separate forms of occultation. His minor occultation lasted for a little over 6 years, during which time four specific representatives were appointed. After the death of the fourth representative, the doors of a specific representation were closed. However, the guidance did not end, and according to the directive issued by the 12 Imam, they were to follow the scholars or fuqaha who guard their soul, protect the religion, and follow the commandments of their master, Allah the Almighty. Thus, the general representation has been placed on the shoulders of the sources of emulation, or maraji taqlid.
Dr. Fakhr Rohani.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim wa bi nasta'in. In Shia communities, we find that Muslims, I mean Shias, are recommended to emulate or to follow a great mujtahid. This level of authoritativeness is of a relative degree. I mean, ordinary people are not expected to know much in religious matters. They have to go to ordinary clerics. Those clerics refer in turn to high-ranking ayatollahs, I mean top-ranking ayatollahs or grand ayatollahs. And those grand ayatollahs refer to the Holy Quran and other authoritative hadiths and other collections, religious collections, in order to find out the answers to the religious queries. Now we find that there's some sort of hierarchy in this regard. At the same time, we find that sometimes some people say that, why are we expected to go to ayatollahs or to religious clerics for the answers to our questions? There's one simple answer. For example, someone is an engineer when he becomes ill. To whom is expected to refer? I mean, for curing himself. Logically and naturally to a medical doctor. No engineer would regard it, I mean, to be, inappropriate with regard to his being an educated, a highly educated or highly qualified engineer to go to a medical doctor. No, I mean, being engineer is one thing, being a medical doctor is something else. Likewise, for example, having one sort of speciality in a field is one thing, and being in need of religious directions of other clerics is something else. So we find that those people who are not learned enough in terms of religious issues are expected to go to the right experts who are learned clerics or grand ayatollahs.
Should we do taqlid in religious problems? It is necessary to say that taqlid of a mujtahid is not in articles of faith, but it is related to the practical law. In other words, it is necessary to follow a mujtahid in the rules, regulations, and branches of religion and not in the roots of religion. It is so because Allah, the Most High, and the recognition of the Holy Prophets are the basis of religion, and to know them through logic and arguments is necessary, so that after accepting the roots of religion with logic and arguments, in the branches of religion we must refer to mujtahids who are expert and authority in this field. Islam's established laws and orders like prayers, hajj, zakat are compulsory, refraining from evil, lying, breach of trust, backbiting, wine, and etc., which are prohibited, and there is no need to follow a mujtahid for them, as these are known by everyone. Therefore, taqlid is limited up to those laws and orders which are not absolutely established.
Show me a way to return to him in peace. Show me I weigh an happy gun tomorrow. For there is only one way for you and me. Sure.
You're listening to IRIB English Radio, and this program today is special. Why are there differences among the mujtahids in their legal opinions? Many people wonder why it is that the mujtahids differ in their religious options or fatwas when the basis of their ijtihad are the same. Firstly, it should be said that any differences in the fatwas is hardly ever such as to be contradictory. It is almost impossible to find a case of one mujtahid saying some action is wajib and another saying it is haram. Take, for instance, the case of Friday prayer. All the Shia ulama are of the opinion that in the time of the presence of the imam, this salah, this prayer, is obligatory on Fridays. But they differ as to what is the correct course of action when the imam is in occultation. This difference of opinion does not, however, create any practical problem for the community.
When we say challenge, we're not saying go and challenge everywhere in any way and be disrespectful to certain gatherings. No, there's a certain procedure by which you challenge. When we say challenge, go and investigate and know why you're following this path. That's what it means. Not, let's say you have a majlis, there's 300 people, you get up and say, what is this taqleed? What am I doing? That's not the proper venue for it. I'll give some practical examples. Let's say you have doubts about taqleed. Is taqleed even valid? Why do we even follow scholars? Start by going to a local scholar in your community. Those people who sometimes, you know, have this habit of spreading these ideas in society and creating doubts in the minds of people, have they actually sat with a local scholar and asked them, what is the basis for taqleed? Why do we do taqleed? Show me the hadiths. Show me the verses from the Quran. Have they actually taken that step? Or oftentimes not really? That's one step. Someone learned in your community, go and ask them privately. Tell them, I have doubts about this issue. If the doubt gets resolved, which 95% of the times it does get resolved, it gets resolved. If it doesn't, maybe you need to speak to someone who's more learned. So when we say challenge, that means go and ask. Ask someone who's learned. What is the basis for this? We don't mean go out in public and start shouting for and demanding for answers. That's not the meaning of challenging. Challenging means just go ask. Know why you do taqlid. If your parents are educated, ask them. If they have the answer, they'll tell you the answer. If they don't, see a local scholar. See someone who knows, a wise community member, and they could walk you through it as an example.
I think that's a good topic for discussion, so we continue on the next episode of today's special, inshallah. Till then, fi amanillah.
بسم الله لنا فتح ذكر الله لنا حسن لطف الله لنا عون نعل به درجات بسم الله لنا فتح ذكر الله لنا حسن لطف الله لنا عون نعل به درجات نعل به درجات
What you heard was an IRIB English radio program. please log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en. This is IRIB English Radio. Coming up is the news.